Good to see you all tonight. I'm glad you're here. So this morning, in our lesson, what we studied was and talked about was that there are all kinds of important documents that come from the pens of men that are of value in some way, but none of those hold a greater value than the words given to man that come by the hand of God. By divine inspiration, God has made His will known to man, and He has confirmed its value to the sons of men. The bigger question has always been, are we willing to listen and are we willing to obey what God says? Now, the Apostle Paul reminds us of why we should place great emphasis on God's Word. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Romans 15 and verse 4. We talked about that passage a little bit this morning, but we only talked about the first phrase. And we spent the entire time really talking about the inspiration of God's Word, its value to us, its importance to take it just as it is. But tonight I will spend just a few minutes looking at some of the other points and phrases that come from this passage. And so to break it down just a little bit, for whatever was written in earlier times, we discussed that this morning. That was our focus. That phrase is intended to focus our thoughts on the benefits of words given to us by God. And as we said, value is placed on the words of God regardless of when it was delivered. Whether we're talking about the Old Testament Scripture or the New Testament, there's value to be found through all of that. And we can learn so much from either the obedience or disobedience of those who lived in biblical times, those who lived under the old law or those who lived under the law of Christ. And this was a big part of our point this morning. It's only God's Word that has the ability to make us complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17. And so now to look a little bit farther with this text. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. Was written for our instruction. Well, even this point is a little redundant on some things that we talked about this morning. Let's work on this for just a moment. This instruction refers to the idea of communicating or teaching us. And so we are concerned with teaching from two sources or instructions from two sources. That is the doctrines of men or the doctrines of God. So very different they are. But one seems to be more prevalent than the other in our day. It's easy to find and it's easy to hear the doctrines of men. But what is the value of that? The doctrines of men will teach us, surely. The doctrines of men can lead us. But to what end? Where will they lead us? Well, God's Word tells us. God's Word tells us where the words of men will lead us. We don't have to wonder or speculate what is the end results of following God or following the words of men. Several passages we're looking at tonight. I hope you'll go with me. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Here's a passage that specifically talks about the doctrines of men. Colossians chapter 2, verse 21, beginning. Or verse 20, actually. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with using, according to the commandments and the doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, not of any value against the indulgence of the flesh. And so even 2,000 years ago, the apostle is saying, these teachings, these instructions, these doctrines of men, well, it's prevalent. You can hear these everywhere, but what is the value? It has an appearance of good things To be involved in following those doctrines makes you seem like you're religious, but is that of any benefit? You know, is that helpful? He's saying to these Christians, you have died with Christ. You have been separated from the basic principles of the world. Why would you go back to that? That's what he's saying to these Christians, is that you don't want to go back there, that these teachings are of no value. The basic principles of the world will not lead us closer to God. That's his point. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And here he has been writing about the work of the apostles and the prophets, of evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints, to perfect the saints. For what purpose? Verse 14. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. The basic doctrines of the world will lead us to being deceived, is what he's saying. The doctrines of men are deceptive, and ultimately that deception will leave us weakened and will leave us even more susceptible to the teaching, the trickery of men, tossed to and fro. That's the result of following the doctrines of men. We don't have to wonder, well, what will happen if we follow such doctrine? No, Scripture tells us what will happen. We're in no position to argue with what that says. Here is the end result. This is what happens if you follow the doctrines of men. One other passage along this line. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The ideas and the doctrines of men, very simply, come from Satan himself. Verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. This is what the doctrines of men lead to. To beliefs and practices that is opposite of what God has ever said. The doctrines of God, very simple. And we talked about it more this morning. I'm not going to say that all again, but I want us to see the contrast. Here's what the doctrines of men will bring. Here's the results of following the doctrines of men. The doctrine of God, instead, is rooted in the sacred Scriptures. That's where we're introduced to them. That's where we find them. And the words of God are the doctrine which comes and which is according to godliness, we have read. Words that lead us to be the people of God will make us, again, complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, it's hard for us to overemphasize the stark difference between the two. The doctrines of man and the doctrines of God are so very different. They're polar opposites. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance, it has the idea, the meaning, the ability to hold out, the ability to bear up when facing difficult circumstances. And the fact of the matter is that we may face challenges to our faith where we need perseverance to endure. I can only imagine that every one of us here who is a Christian of any time, we have been challenged in faith. Perseverance was required for us to kind of work our way through and not lose that faith, but hopefully in the end have faith that's been increased even by difficulties that we've had to deal with. Sometimes this word, perseverance is used in the sense of patiently waiting on something or someone. How many times do your children or your grandchildren, you have to say, I just need to wait, be patient, just be patient, wait a while. How many times do we have to say to ourselves, I just need to be patient about that. You know, I need to wait on that. Sometimes people say, well, the best things in life come in time, just be patient. We get the point? A few years ago, Brad Paisley had a song that was very popular in country music, Waiting on a Woman. You hear that song? It was a really popular song. And the basic idea of the song is there was a young man kind of concerned and complaining about the fact he's always waiting on this girl. You know, he was always having to wait on her, waiting on a woman. And in the song, there's an older man that is like he's talking to this older man who with experience has said, yes, get used to waiting on a woman. But his point with it all was, as he related his life, was that it's been worth the wait. She's worth the wait. Patience. And so in different aspects of life, all of us have had to have perseverance, that ability to hold on, that ability to stay the course and not give up when life is challenging, when life is difficult. Patience is a gift of God, and it's not wrong for us to ask, for us to pray for patience, that might be an attribute about us that we excel in, that we do better in. I mean, in the context of Christian character, we need to be known as people who are patient, willing to endure, willing to exhibit that characteristic. A couple of passages. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And it's in this context that the apostle is encouraging Christians to bear with one another. That at times when we are the one who is strong and there is a brother who is weak, that we need to bear them up, that we need to carry them. You know, that's a trait that we need to have. It's in that context that he says in verse 5, now may the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one another as according to Jesus Christ. And so after this discourse where he is encouraging patience that we should have with one another, it seems to be a reminder here that we petition the God of patience and consolation that he might grant us the same. Again, what comes to my mind is the idea that it's a characteristic of God, patience, perseverance. And if we want to have the character that He has, we have to be patient. We have to take on that very characteristic. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, in the context here, again, there's some discussion about living by faith. In fact, that has a lot to do with the context here of chapter 10 and some other points within the book of Hebrews. And in chapter 10, actually, we're going to begin reading here at verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that you have done the will of God, and you may receive the promise. And so the idea seems to be that of, don't throw away your faith. Don't throw away that which you must have much confidence in. In fact, he goes in some of the next verses here to talk about the just shall live by faith. So don't throw away the confidence that we have in that. But in fact, you know, we need to have endurance. It's that same word as perseverance. that we need to hold on. You know, I wrote in my Bible at some point, I don't know why, waiting is hard. I don't know what I was thinking of. That may have been in Earl's class I wrote that. I don't remember. Having that perseverance, endurance, patience, waiting is hard. But with regard to the characteristics that we need to have to be more like God, perseverance is so very much necessary. Lack of perseverance or lack of patience can be very costly. Who's not made rash decisions because we couldn't wait a little bit longer for something to get sorted out? And so we rush through something that later we think, I should have just waited, but we didn't. In a more critical way, what about times when our faith, we were struggling in some way? And we had some rash thoughts or said something we shouldn't have said. We've done something that has damaged our faith because we did not have the patience, the perseverance to see something through with regard to faith. See, when we're not the only ones that are challenged in faith from time to time. You know, Paul is writing to those who, some of whom may know in a very real way what faith being challenged is all about. And what about those even in the Old Testament at times whose faith was greatly challenged because of circumstances they were having to deal with? God has always been a God of patience. How many times did He call the children of Israel to repent, to change their ways, to come back? I would have given up on them long before when God was still sending prophets to call them back. God has patience, perseverance. We can learn lessons from that, just looking at God's character in that way. We cannot afford to be short on perseverance. We cannot afford to draw back and give up the prize. In the same context here of Hebrews, just turning a page or so to chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, seeing we also are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Don't give up. Don't quit. The prize at the end is worth the effort. Perseverance is so very needed. It's required of the disciples. But God, through His Word, gives us reason for hope. And even times when we may be struggling with perseverance, we may be thinking, well, we can't hold on. But we have reason to hold on. And God gives us hope that way. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures. This speaks to the act of being emboldened in faith and in belief or in our course of action. The idea of letting the Scriptures lift up our faith. When we struggle the most, we all have those days. Or we all have those periods of time, even, where it seems like our faith is just being pounded on. We've turned some directions in our life maybe that we shouldn't have gone to begin with. How do we get back to where we're supposed to be? And we're struggling with faith. What do we do? You know, go get some help, self-help books that tell us how to deal with issues of life? You know, listen to the doctor on TV, see what he has to say. People look at all these sources. What Scripture is telling us, what God is telling us, is that there is encouragement found in Scripture. That's what comes from God. The idea of letting Scriptures lift up our faith. There is a bold proclamation that God's Word has the power to do that for us. That's what this is saying. That when we are weak, when Satan is working on us, when life is really tough and challenging, when our faith is being put to the test, we can find encouragement in God's Word. If we go there. But that may be the challenge for us. You just think about what do we do? Where do we go when we're facing challenges of life? God's Word will lift us up. But we have to go there for it to have that benefit. God's Word is presented to us in such a way and for the purpose of encouraging us. The Hebrew writer says, as you look here, Hebrews 13, verse 22, "And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in a few words." That's what it's here for. Encouragement in faith is found in God's Word. And then, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Hope looks forward to something with a reason for confidence of fulfillment. It's that idea of looking forward with confidence of fulfillment. There can be blind hope. I like optimistic people. I try to be optimistic. But there can come a point where optimism just turns into unrealistic expectations. I don't know that that's healthy. I don't know that that's good. I mean, being pessimistic is the other extreme. Well, I know that's not good. But there can be blind hope, or hope that is not reasonable, let's say. But Scripture helps us to be able to zero in on hope that is real, that can bring about honest expectations, godly expectations. Evil men have no enduring hope. Here's a contrast again. Evil men have no enduring hope. They might think they have hope. They might talk about hope. But evil men, those who are led by the will of Satan, have no hope. They just might not know it. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, when we think about the power and the benefits of the blood of Jesus Christ, those who are walking in the world have not the benefit of it, are not blessed by the blood of Christ. In the context right here, those who were walking as Gentiles walk have no benefit of the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 12, "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been made near by the blood of Christ." Contrast. Those without hope, those with hope. Where do we stand? Which side are we on? There's only two sides. It's not hard to figure out. We are with Christ, washed by His blood, walking with Him, or we're walking with the world. Scripture gives us every reason for hope if we are walking with the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a passage that I'm confident is for the purpose of giving comfort and hope. There seems to have been some confusion among some of the Christians about those who had already died. Had they missed the resurrection that was going to come? Would they not see heaven? because they had died too early because Christ hadn't come again. And what Paul writes to them is this, chapter 4, beginning verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, that you not sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope, comfort, knowing that there is more to this life because of the life that is to come. Those in the Lord have every reason for hope. Scriptures are given to us that, knowing that that which is revealed, the revealed Word of God, will and is able to provide us instruction in life. Scriptures will teach us perseverance that will enable us to endure. Scripture provides encouragement so that our faith will not be weakened, but instead it can be emboldened. Scriptures will give us hope. But we must hear the Word of God and believe that heavenly message. God's will is given to us here. But it'll be up to us to decide if we'll accept it, if we'll live by it. What will your choice be? We all have the same decision to make. What will it be? And if there's a change you need to make in your life, if we can help you in some way in your walk with the Lord, we hope this song will encourage you. Would you come to us as we stand and sing?